Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday, how do you know it needs to be done? Record and listen. And this is related to what needs to be done. So here's our first caller.
My favorite question so far. All right.
Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura in Berkeley.
Hey, Laura. What are you seeing?
Well, what am I seeing? Well, the thing that I was looking at, well, the question to what needs to be done, the first thing that came up for me was everything, which is sort of
all the time
indicative of, yes, the orientation that conditioning would like to get me into. What came up for me was that how I know it has to be done is like, there's kind of this like the body sensations, like that's at least how, you know, there's this feeling of tightness in my chest and urgency and like I can't rest, I can't relax till it's all done, till it's, you know, that, yeah.
And we're not sure what it is, right? Because that's the exciting part of it, right? You can't rest until it is all done.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the fascinating thing that's been happening to me is that normally at work I have lots to do, lots to juggle, you know, and there's kind of always been this fantasy of like, you know, gosh, some, you know, we're going to have like a slow period. You're not going to, you know, you're going to get all this done. You're going to be so relaxed. Great. Well,
Laura, I can see people all over the world nodding vigorously as you're saying that. Yeah, yeah.
That's, well, for the first time in 6 years, I'm really, No, yeah, and so for the first time in like 6 years, I'm having this really slow period at work where, I mean, and my experience is I am not relaxed. Like, I mean, it's just fascinating.
So conceivably, so there are two different aspects to it, right? One is facing the illusion that you will get it all done. And how, as we've noticed, that's just never going to happen. That is just simply never going to happen because we don't know what it is, and we don't understand the relationship between it and done. Okay? So, which is, I think, big. And so here you are in a slow time, and you could, let's just say, you could get caught up at work. And so I'm guessing you're having that experience, that you are getting to things that have been put on a list, and you're actually getting through some things that, is that true? Yeah. And so what we're meant to believe is when that happens, you will feel the way you want to feel.
Yeah,
and we can see that everywhere, right? As soon as I get that house, then I'll be happy. When I have the right person, then I'll feel loved and secure. When it's the same process, and the content just gets plugged into it, right? I don't know, Ashwini can help us with the formula, but when that happens, if that happens, then. And it's not true. And that's what you're getting to see. It is simply not true. That you will feel the way you want to feel when you want to feel that way more than you want to feel any other way.
Yeah, that what I'm seeing, I mean, it's just fascinating because it's like the same program is running even though the content is not there.
And we're disbelief, right? Because, but, yeah, because we've been told and we've believed and everybody else has been told and everybody else believes that that's true, that the reason I don't feel the way I want to feel, happy, secure, relaxed, satisfied, whatever it is because of circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Now you are in the enviable position of realizing, no, I don't feel the way I want to feel because my attention is on not feeling that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it feels like right now sort of the challenge is not to go to, well, you know, this is just impossible. You're just going to feel anxious no matter what.
That's right.
But instead to say, no, I've had the experience. I can feel good when I'm busy, and I'm going to find out how to feel good when I'm not busy too.
That's exactly right. I'm going to get to the bottom of anxiety.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to take on. I'm going to take on this feeling that triggers this eons-old programming that has been torturing me. That's what I'm going to focus on. Not getting to the end of a to-do list, not finding the right person, not getting the right house, not buying a new car, not, right? None of that. Because you've proved to yourself that that is a great big lie. So what you're going to do now is to watch really closely how those sensations, which do not mean are not connected to anything, how they get maintained so that you can pull the plug on it.
Yep.
This is very exciting, Laura.
I'm
very happy for you.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget to enjoy this, okay? Lots of recording because you've worked hard. You've worked hard to get to this point of clarity.
Yeah.
Take it in. Celebrate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. You know, Sherry, it's true for all of us, right, that ultimately what we are trying to, I don't even know what the word is to have a direct experience of, is what it feels like if the programming is absent.
Yes, because that's what happened. Right? That's what happened in this. All of those conditions were met.
That's right.
They were all met. And Laura got to stand there and say, okay, then why don't I feel the way I'm supposed to feel when all those conditions are met? And the system made a big mistake there.
Well, one of the places, I think it's important because it's such a crucial place to look at and practice and be aware of, is the only place it can go to is where it sort of tried to get Laura to go, which is, well, then it's hopeless. If you're going to feel this way no matter what the circumstances, then that shows you're fundamentally flawed. To write back to there's something wrong with you, rather than the place where I think you're encouraging us to stay is, if we have that phenomenal awareness that how I feel is not based on circumstances, that a story, an orientation, a voice in my head is creating that experience, and that is no longer a good point of reference, then we have to be able to stay in that place of unknowing to recalibrate to what could be an experience of life that is not what I have been conditioned to believe I'm going to feel if the circumstances went my way.
Yes. Yeah, so what you're saying is in that moment we have a chance to see what is really so. And because we do practice then because we have this mirror to look in, then we get to see that there is an alternative to what that system is constantly attempting to get us to believe. So the conditions are all met. There is that space because Laura is practicing being present. In that space, she's able to see that, well, then it's hopeless. But what practice offers is, no, that's not what's actually happening. What's actually happening is all the conditions were met, and you get to see the lie that conditioning has been feeding you, that if you were just the right person doing the right thing, getting all of these things done, then you would be relaxed and happy. That's a lie.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's where we want to get to, because now in that moment we get to actually be here focusing on what is so. So what is so is I've got these wacky sensations in my body that are connected to these stories and this meaning and all of this, and oh my God, they're not. It's just a habit. I've just been conned into believing that those sensations in my chest, in my belly, in my shoulders mean the story that's presented to go with it. No. Those are just sensations. That's just tension in the body.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, it's
very exciting.
It is. All right. Let's see what our next caller has.
Let's have more excitement.
Yes, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Okay, hi, this is Melody from Aloha from Hawaii and now Utah.
Melody, getting around. All right, what are you
getting doing? Around. Well, I spend a lot of time with this one this morning doing a recording and listening, and I really feel all those sensations when it comes to what needs to, you know, like anxiety, fear, resistance. And in my past, it was just a world that I lived in. And now I'm seeing I don't need to do this. I get to do this. And it just kind of switched it over to... And just to being present in the moment, it's totally different. Mm-hmm. And those sensations can leave, you know. Or they can stay.
But, that's right. That's exactly
But at least
right.
I know.
They're not a problem. They're not a problem. And they're not information. They are not the what we need to look to understand the world.
Yeah.
I was listening to somebody the other day who was talking about just using as an example of the kind of thing we're looking at, a small child seeing an automatic garage door for the first time. Excuse me. And that child would sit there for hours and watch that thing if somebody would press the buttons and allow them to do it, right? Because it's just astonishing that such a thing exists, right? And and we have so lost sight of that the things that we have every possibility of enjoying thoroughly, the things that are really our life, have been turned into drudgery that we must resist and suffer over.
Yeah. Yeah, life is very magical, no matter what we're doing or where we are.
Yes, because if I want to, today I'm working on my house, among other things, and, you know, I can just get up when this show is over, and this program, I guess show is a funny word for it, but when this program is over, I can just stand up. I can just stand up, and I can walk across the room. And I can pick things up because I have legs and feet that work. And I have a back. And I have hands and arms. And I have a head that tells me that's a cup and not a broom. You know, there is so much magic in the simplest thing, so much to be grateful for. Because if I were suddenly paralyzed, I would not be standing up and walking across the room would truly be recognized as a miracle.
Yeah, it is. It's just all a miracle, for sure.
Yeah. But we've got to get out of that old conversation first, right? In order to see it.
We do.
Nothing needs to change, does it? Nothing needs to change about our lives.
No, it's all okay, whatever's going on, whatever, you know, whether, like right now I'm here with my parents who are they're leaving this world now. It's just their time, their last, very last days. And, you know, it's all okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay, and I keep telling them that. It's okay, you guys. We're just going on. We're just...
Oh my gosh, Melody! It sounds like they're going on together.
Well, I would hope that they do, but they will. They'll go on together for sure.
Because they're very elderly, and they're in this process together, right? Which is a miracle in itself. The number of people who lose loved ones way too soon, way before they're ready.
It is.
For you to be able to be there with them, for them to have you there. Oh my gosh.
And it's just for right now, you know. It's just these days, these moments.
Yes.
It's okay. Yeah, it's okay. That's okay.
Yes. It's okay. Yeah. And in fact, with a little tiny movement, we can get to. It's really wonderful.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's totally
all right.
Amazing.
Well, you three take care of each other and enjoy this precious time.
Yeah.
Enjoy this time. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Melody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Melody. Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller. I got bumped off the call. So here we go. Next caller. Oh. You on. Live on the air, would you please introduce yourself?
Hello? Who's this? Are you there? I hear attempting sounds, but I don't hear anybody. Ah! More encouraging sounds. Okay. Ashwini, do we have somebody else?
Yes. Yes, I do. Here we go. Caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Florida.
Hey, Chris.
What needs
to be done?
Oh, gosh. This is, I think, my absolute karma.
How you know this?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Because I'm finishing my master's thesis right now, and that is, conditioning is having a field day with that experience.
Oh, I bet.
So,
is it trying to make you miserable, for instance?
The words that I wrote in my workbook were, it's like a torture system that it seems to use through sheer repetition.
Oh, yes. Kind of the drop of water in the middle of your forehead, that kind of, it just says the same thing over and over and over and over until you think you're going to lose your mind, that one?
Absolutely that one. And it's almost like a sub-verbal kind of information.
Kind of sensations that with the meaning that we've been looking at. Even though you might not hear complete sentences or even words, you know that the way you feel means X, Y, and Z.
Yes, and there's kind of different aspects to it. So there is this threatening kind of information that is in a sensation level. Uh-huh. And then there's also projecting into the future for how long or how painful or how long I'll have to, quote unquote, deal with the writing of the thesis.
Uh-huh. So that's guaranteeing that you're not enjoying it now, right? Because
exactly.
Attention is on taking this out into the future and letting you know that this is going to go on for a really long time, and it's going to be really horrible.
Exactly. And it is so the opposite of the place that we were just talking about in the last call, where there's just kind of a sheer amazement that, I mean, the process of writing, I mean, the process of standing up and moving across the room is fascinating in itself, but the process of writing is also fascinating.
Oh, uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Sheer magic, right? So there you are. I'm guessing you're sitting, although you may be a pacer. I don't know as you compose, but say you're sitting there and suddenly you see something and it's really good. You see a connection between two things, or you see a way to say something, right? You have a moment of clarity and you see how to communicate that. Yeah? You know that one?
It's thrilling, that one, yeah.
It's thrilling. It's thrilling. And of course, what we know, and I would guess what you're practicing in a project like this is you have to be here for that to happen. You can't be off in a grisly future with conditioned mind and have that happen, which is what makes a project like that such, like anything else, but it makes it such great practice, because you have to drop that conditioned mind focus in order to be available for the clarity.
And because, like I said, this is really it feels like my fundamental story or karma that has been getting me since I was a child, with trying to be productive and being a good student in school and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what has shifted maybe in the past month or two is an orientation to this project, which is it's an opportunity. I mean, the phrase that comes to mind is like kind of karma burning, where it feels like I am sitting down, mm-hmm. conditioning is throwing an absolute fit and tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're showing up.
Yes, through that dedication.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As an opportunity to strengthen that groove of dedication.
Well, and yes, and, you know, in very simple terms, letting ego know you're not the boss of me. This is my life. I get to do this. I mean, you could get 6 or 7 more master's degrees, I suppose, if you chose to, but the likelihood is small. And so this might be your only one. And you get to have it, because this is your life. And you get to have this experience. And you get to have this experience of using this experience to go beyond ego.
Yeah, using the experience as a practice opportunity has been
yes.
a game changer.
Yes. Yes. That thwarts ego at every time we do it. Because what we're doing is supposed to be for an outcome, for a result. As soon as we turn our attention to the process, to enjoying what it is that we're engaged in right now, ego has nowhere to go with that. Yeah. This is good. It's very fun. Thank
yes.
you, Chris.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Enjoy.
I will.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Chris. Sherry, it looks like we have time for one more caller. So
oh, goody.
I'm going to include another caller in. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Janice from Victoria.
Hello, Janice.
Hi. You know, I'm just looking at a bunch of pictures that I'm cleaning out my garage, and they're sort of like family from when I was little to probably 20s. And when we were doing the whole project of looking you know, the qualities from mother, qualities from father and stuff, I realized that I was able to kind of rewrite the stories a lot. Mm. And when I look at these pictures, I'm seeing details in the pictures in the background, in the, say, the gardens or, you know, other things that were in my environment, that whole, the stories I had created, I've really been able to see all the positives and really embrace that everybody was doing the best they could.
Yeah. It's what it always comes down to, right?
Yeah.
That conversation in conditioned mind is a lie. It's a fiction. It has so little to do with anything that may or may not have happened. You know, even, and I know you know this, even in a situation where there's a violent, abusive parent, and there's a little kid who really suffers at the hands of that parent, that is true, right? That kind of thing happens. But when we step back in the way that you are looking at this, we realize whoever that parent was, they were not doing it because it was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing it because they were a tortured, unhappy, we could probably say suffering miserably human being.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't conscious and here and deciding that they would do hateful, harmful, hurtful things for the pleasure of it. Right? So even, excuse me, even the things that we could say, but it really happened. Yeah, yeah. That event, that whatever it is, that did happen. But the context changes everything.
Mm-hmm. And there was something that Ashwini was alluding to that you had said, and I wondered if you could kind of just explain it a bit more, because I think I'm getting it, about having the parents and the situation that you need actually in this life with this karma. And I, when I look at some of the pictures, there's some, because my mom was a great photographer, she caught me, and obviously I had a pretty defiant-looking face or gesture or something in a lot of them, and I just have great admiration for that little kid who, that defiancy of, you know, just carrying on and sticking up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
but there's
just very,
yeah,
very quickly about that. The way we talk about it, mm-hmm. which is not to be confused with this is the truth. It is not my experience that we come in little blank slates. I mean, mm-hmm. anybody who has children knows very well that every child comes in with an orientation. We call it karmic predisposition, right?
Yeah.
And that little child meets the karma of the context into which they arrive. And that's how we begin to develop, right? Is that the karma is meeting the conditioning and being conditioned. So here we go, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So are the people who raised us who we think they are? No. All we can say is that's my experience of those people. That's mm-hmm. not to be confused with that's who they are. Because almost nobody, when defined by somebody else, says, yep, you nailed it. Yep, that's me in a nutshell. Okay? So our own experience is vastly different from the way other people experience us. And we can't know, actually, anything about anybody else because, this is where I love projection so much, even if I project something onto you and you say, no, that's not it. What's really true in this is, and you tell me your experience, I'm going to run that through my conditioning.
Right.
And by the time I get somewhere with it, it's going to be mine, not yours.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yes, it argues always for that, well, I don't know. All I know is what I'm believing and assuming that is causing me to suffer, and I can dismantle that.
Yeah, and that's what needs to be done.
Yes, yes. Back to the question. And how do we know that? Well, and of course, if we bring in what we've been talking about for a while, that's what we get to do. That's what we have the capacity to do. We can take advantage of that in this lifetime, should we choose to. And so for me, anything that we do, I mean, it's interesting to look at these questions because they bring up the beliefs and assumptions, which, again, is not there. That's not to be confused with truth. And so any time that we spend attempting to further the beliefs that my parents or my childhood was the way it was, just feeds suffering.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. And how do I know is because I suffer when I'm not curious about it and go through and come up against things. Yeah.
Yep, yep, I suffer. Mm-hmm. That's how I know I want to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you,
Janice.
I will see you in two
days.
See
you soon.
Yes.
Yes. Very exciting.
Yes.
All right. Travel safe. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Janice. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of another fabulous show. And our assignment for today is, how long have you known this needs to be done? And what are you doing toward getting it done? Record and listen.
Ooh. That's just downright thrilling, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Thank you so much, Ashwini. And thanks to everybody. And good Lord willing.
And we'll
tomorrow.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.